Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, Managing Editor Ira Schofel, and Senior Writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
Hour number two, headline of questions, and away we go. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate you joining us. Get to your questions momentarily. Our thanks to Birch Orthodontics. I actually had to ghost Birch Orthodontics yesterday. I got caught up. Schedules are crazy these days with orientation, going back to school, football practice in the morning. So I felt terrible. We called and said, going to have to push back to next week. But you know what? Being the pros that they are, they're like, we got you, Jeff. We got you. Let's reschedule right here, right now, get this thing on the books so that you can come back next week and we can check on Clark. I said, I'll do that. And we did it. And it's done, just like that.
And that's
pro's
not,
pro.
That's not just because you're Jeff Cameron.
No.
I mean, that plays a
no.
small role.
Probably.
You get that treatment everywhere you
that's
go.
That's pretty true, yeah.
But in Dr. Burston, their customer service is great. They expect you to be at the appointments if
yeah,
you're going to
yeah,
be
don't,
there.
Yeah, don't just but, not show up. I called.
But they will work with you. And I ran into Dr. Burston, some of her staff, the other night at a local eating establishment. They were having a little meeting or, I guess, socializing after work.
Yeah.
And
they get loose over there at Birch Orthodontics.
This was pretty subdued.
Starting around noon.
Seemed a little subdued. It was an evening dinner. But here's what's interesting, though. So somebody had texted me, a mutual friend of ours texted me and said, hey, tell Dr. Birch thanks for sending lunch over to our school.
How about that?
And I said, what was the occasion? And this person said, I don't know. They just said, hey, our meals were provided. The teacher's meals preparing for school to start were provided by Dr. Birch. So apparently, so when I saw her that night, it just ran into her that night.
You said, what gives? Where's the lunch?
And why haven't I gotten
one? That's right. Seminole headlines.
That's not the message
apparently,
to take.
Well, Dr. Birch sends meals to all the middle schools and high schools before as they're going through the planning process.
That's a smart
to the teachers.
Savvy move. Savvy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad marketing.
That's
it's
good marketing.
Marketing.
No,
it's
also, I see it working.
Hey, let's not be cynical.
Well,
she
well,
might just be. I mean,
oh,
I know who I'm talking
so,
to.
Yeah.
I know who I'm talking to, but don't be cynical. She might just be doing it because they're teachers and they're administrators.
Shannon would appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a nice gesture. It just shows, again, great members of the community. Yeah. And when you support Birch Orthodontics, the website is birchorthodontics.com. When you support Dr. Birch and have them, not only do they do great work, but they also reinvest in the community and into us.
And also into the football team.
Yes.
I mean, you won't believe the wide receiving corps that's coming next year.
The stacks of money she's
going to be ridiculous.
Dr. Birch throwing around six figures.
They're going to call them the Birch Four. The Birch Four because those four wide receivers she's bringing in.
Hey, by the way, so this is a weird question to start with, but I think Sky Ninja earned his way to the top of the list right off the bat here with a little donation for the cause. What are the realistic expectations for FSU baseball? Sorry, baseball dad here in Monroe, Georgia, and my son. Yeah, he says it, though. He says, hey, sorry. And my seat just went down. Sorry, baseball dad here in Monroe, Georgia, and my son wanted me to ask. Go Walnut Grove High School. I think the realistic expectations for Seminole baseball is that they're going to be a good team.
I just liked how slow you got. Sky Ninja, you're the best, buddy. He's a frequent
he's
question
great.
Asker. I just can't imagine they're going to strike out as much. They're probably going to feel the baseball better. And Wyatt Crowell's a really good pitcher. Who's the other kid that's coming back that we liked? Come on, gang. Not Messick, not Hubbard. It was one of the other relievers. They got
one of 10 relievers that we like. It's not baseball season. Yeah.
But they got arms, man. They got arms. It's just a matter of, I guess, finding some guys that'll be the weekend guys. But Wyatt Crowell is one of the anchors for sure.
I really like the fact that he's bringing over his whole staff. And I know there were other people in the mix that they could have looked at, and I think he would have gotten a good assistance no matter what he did. But I really like the fact that he got – I mean, those guys – obviously, Rustano, unbelievable track record at Notre Dame. The other guy's a really good recruiter in the state of Florida. They hit some magic, that combination at Notre Dame. And I'm really excited about that whole staff. And there's a lot of excitement in that stadium, man.
There is.
You want to tear it down.
Oh, I would have torn it down years ago.
That's probably not going to happen right now.
It's a dump.
But it is. There's a lot of excitement and buzz around that program.
Carson Montgomery is who
saw
I was thinking.
There you go. Saw some standing water there.
Hey, I'll tell you what. If they can get Carson Montgomery to be a consistent and be like a weekend starter, that would be a big, huge deal.
He had an ERA of 5.
But, I mean,
we've got to have to lower that, Carson. You're too good to have an ERA of 5.
He will. He will. Okay. It's going to happen. Guys, sky's the limit for FSU baseball. Let's move it along here.
Okay.
Jonathan Conrad writes, sorry, I'm not supposed to say your last name, I don't suppose, but it is on a public forum.
Oh, anybody JC.
Depends on what he has to say.
Well, he's a great guy. All right, gentlemen, let's pretend for a moment that we live in a world where you can make a definitive prediction without being destroyed later for not having proper clairvoyance. Social media will instead love you for your boldness and shower you with praises and gifts.
Right. Seems like social media.
That's normal. That's,
yeah. What happened yesterday to Ira after he came on my show and said they'll win 9 games or more?
That's not what I said.
But that did you see Twitter?
You didn't.
Did you read Twitter?
You didn't dismiss it. I only tune in now to see if that picture's ever going to change.
Hey, I haven't finished the question.
I almost sent you a picture of my graduation.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
That's what I
thought. That would be hilarious. Yeah. So let's finish the question here. Right after the part about showering you with praises and gifts for your boldness. Without ending a sentence with, but that doesn't mean I'm saying, ... what players or segment can you say are great, even compared to better teams, without having a caveat?
Well, I mean, but the problem is, how do you define great? Because when you talk about Florida, what's great at Florida State is a pretty high freaking bar.
Yeah, one of them just got elected to the Hall of Fame.
I mean, are you going to say Jamie Robinson and Akeem Dent are great?
No,
you're not going to say that.
No. Amari Cooper is not great.
The answer to Jonathan's question is none of them.
No, that's true. Yeah.
The answer to Jonathan's question is
none of them. There are some individual players who could be great.
Yeah.
But there's no segment you would go into this year saying that's a great segment.
Correct. There is not one segment that is great.
But again, you're
the bar is high.
If Jamie Robinson's the first team All ACC safety and Akeem Dent ends up being a second team All ACC safety, I mean that's about as good as you're going to ask for. I mean
they can be really good players,
but I wouldn't say it's great.
They're not great. Yeah, they're not great. So that, I think that's fine.
But was Derwin James great at Florida State?
Well, they didn't use him right, but
he wasn't great.
No,
he was also hurt.
Wasn't great.
Nope.
They really butchered the hell out of that one, and we all knew it. Like while we were watching it, we were like, "What are you guys doing? What kind of dumbassery is going on here?
Have him lock down that tight end.
It was the dumbest thing ever. And what was weird about it was...
Well, when you got T-Mac out wide, he doesn't need help.
It didn't take any football savvy. Everybody understood when that dude goes pro, he's going to be awesome. And he is.
Well, no, the NFL teams didn't because...
Yes, he did.
He was picked like... There were 23 guys picked ahead of him.
I thought he was 17th.
I thought he was in his
20s. Either way, he was picked in the first round.
A lot of teams passed on him. So if I'm Derwin James, I got a bunch of chips on my shoulder
because
they all passed over me.
Because he was misused here and he was hurt half the time. It still pisses me off. It's ridiculous. I know you guys aren't at scrimmage, but do you have any idea about the format? Is it ones versus ones? This is from Mike. Twos versus twos, ones versus twos. Travis taking on Tate. Mike and the boys scheming it up against Fuller and Johnny, basically, what's the deal?
Pretty much everything they do is ones and ones, twos and twos, threes and threes. But what they do is they do mix a lot. Randy Shannon, if you watched the interview with Randy Shannon today, he spoke to the media.
Oh, you're right. He was 17th. I apologize.
There you go.
So I nailed it.
That's my fault. Mm. That's my bad.
How about this guy right here?
You could be more effusive in your apology.
I really do apologize.
No reference there, right? Just boom.
I really do. That was crazy. Yeah,
It's not crazy. I know a lot of things. Go ahead.
Randy Shannon talked about how much they rotate, and they don't feel like they have any starters at linebacker. We would probably disagree and feel like they do have some starters at linebacker, but they rotate those guys so much that sometimes it'll be ones versus ones, but several of the guys on the defense, several of the guys on the offense will be guys you don't think are going to be starting. But generally it's the line of scrimmage that the line of scrimmage and the quarterback usually is what determines if it's the ones or the twos, because a lot of the other guys rotate in, but they almost never go ones against twos and twos versus ones. It's almost always ones and ones.
What happens?
Good on good, I like to say.
Good on good.
Not great on great. Not at Florida State.
One day it will be great on great.
Someday.
That would have been great if Jimbo was like 2013. Yeah, we went great on great today.
We went all time versus all time.
I got to tell you, Ira, I don't know why I didn't notice this until today, but the picture you took of Chip and Gene is a fantastic photo.
Thanks. You know, and
great job with that photo on your Twitter account. I'm serious. That's a great picture.
Chip, the next day I saw him, he's like, man,
why don't y'all put the last names to those?
name. Chip Baker and Gene Deckerhoff.
There we go. Let's let everybody in.
They were out of practice.
Could have
last
been Gene
week.
Williams.
Gene Deckerhoff, who's retired from covering calling Florida State football.
Didn't
games.
He look fresh? Didn't he look
did.
Good? He was in a great mood.
Heard they were putting on the full pads, so he came out to check him out. And he, but anyway, I took that picture, and the next day Chip was like, "Man, you blew up my timeline with that picture." He goes, "Everybody just wanted to see Gene." And I said, "No, man, people love Chip Baker too, buddy."
Yeah,
stop
by the
so
way,
humble.
I'm going to make sure that I get to every Twitter question today. Like, I'm going to really work
good.
Hard. Let me tell you why. Ira went ahead and answered the ones we didn't get to last time, just feeling guilty.
I
and
did.
Then it just made me look like an ass. Like, these people were like,
you
oh.
Went
on,
you went to Twitter and answered?
Yeah,
I did.
Oh. Every one of them.
Yeah, you are.
You're going to do that on Facebook?
You know what I think happened? I think he was bored.
Probably.
But he did go back and answer every one. I was like, all right, Ira, Jesus.
Because I knew you screwed him again.
I didn't screw. I can't get to everybody. What do you want me to do? And some of them are repetitive.
Well, right now we could be getting to them is all I'm saying.
This isn't, you know. Quality radio does not consist of me speed reading questions on the air. That would suck. We're the thing here, partner.
Let's see. Why don't we see if it sucks?
Uh-huh.
Let's give it a run.
Ryan,
give it a run and see.
I'll shut your mouth, and I'll try to give it a go. All right, Hardcore, since you're a fitness guru now, if FSU wins 8 games, will you attempt that Steven Dix workout from last year? How many tries will it take you to break the rock with a sledgehammer?
Oh, that's a good question. If they win 8 games, yeah.
Hurry it up with your answer. Let's go. I'm trying to get to this next question.
Sorry. It's off. I didn't read these ahead of time.
Come on, man.
I would say 5, probably 5 with the sledgehammer, do you think? How long does it take a normal person? Like how long?
I mean, Robert Cooper took 2. It seems it doesn't shatter
6.
One.
I think 6 or 7. If it took Rob, I'm going to guess Robert Cooper's stronger than I am.
I want to see you just carry.
I want to see if I can lift it up and put it down, but probably 6 or 7. I think.
Sean writes, "Who will have a better 2023 class, football or basketball?"
This is rapid.
Basketball maybe, football. One of the two. Ira, what do you think?
Probably basketball, but I think I don't know, but yeah, probably basketball.
I'd like him to go ahead and start getting some better, some big, more big time recruits in football. Ira, but are they saving all that
it's
for 2024?
They just got a bunch of 4 stars.
I don't know. They're, they got the running back, right?
Yeah,
some
big time kid.
Yeah,
Mookie writes, "Hey Jeff, can't wait for W's and L's. Are you guys doing that next week or game week? I think I should wait for game week to do W's and L's, guys. What do you think?"
Yeah, probably. Or you do, but you do it with Lang, right?
Yeah, me and Tom do it, but he wants to know. I mean, it was a question.
I would
so
say, don't we need to do it the Thursday before Duquesne? Probably.
I'll probably do it right that week before. Yeah,
maybe we could do it Tuesday, and you could just sit out, and then not, and so you can save it for Thursday.
Brandon writes, "In what areas have you have your preconceived notions entering fall camp most changed positively and negatively?" Okay, this is easy. Go, Corey. You start.
I was going to say wide receiver, but because I didn't think. No, skip me. Pass. I don't like this pressure.
Oh,
you're going too fast.
He's turned up the tempo.
I don't like it.
He's going too hot now.
I can't think.
Man.
That'd be awesome on Jeopardy.
We're doing the $20,000 pyramid, and you're having a pass,
I'd
baby.
I'd ring in and be like,
"What do you got, Ira?
Know.
What do you got, Ira?"
I will take wide receiver for most positive. I two players in particular. Johnny Wilson, I hoped he would take this jump. He has taken that jump, and I also think that Deuce Span is going to be more of a weapon than I expected, and I think Micah Pittman's continuing to be a guy. A position that I'm not as excited about.
Yeah,
I probably tight end. I mean,
but you weren't anyway.
Weren't your expectations
hopeful.
For tight end in the dirt
I
in
was
the
hoping.
Dump?
I think I was hoping.
I had zero expectations for tight
or
end
or defensive end because those are the only two positions I'm concerned about. And I'm not concerned about defensive end, but I'm not, like, fired up about it.
You don't get multiple answers, Ira. You give me the answer, and we move it along.
About nuance over here.
I'll tell you this. I came into camp with very low expectations for the tight end group, and they remained very low.
They met them.
They met those low expectations.
And I would also tell you that I came into camp really kind of curious about the defensive ends, but I feel good about them. My expectations have gone up. I feel like they'll be more than serviceable.
I need you. Yeah, I need you and Tom to kind of lift my spirits.
More than serviceable. Burke writes, "We talk about the players' experience adding
quarterback
to their
growth." Quarterback
is my answer. Oh, Jesus.
Because
we talk
of
about their players.
Of Azari
A. Thomas. You missed your window.
All right, I'm just
missed
saying.
The window.
That was your one pass.
We talk about the players' experience adding to their growth year over year, but do you think our coaching staff has learned lessons from last year to improve their personal performance? Nobody asks Mike, how are you going to improve your game or time management this season?
I think so. I mean, I just think like we've talked about it a little bit before that, yeah, Mike Norvell made mistakes last season. The Jacksonville State was a huge mistake by all parties.
Oh,
and
the way
he's in
they
charge.
The way they prepared for that is terrible. But they treated it like a scrimmage and they got burned.
But the point I would make is Jimbo Fisher made mistakes his first few years as a head coach, and he got better. I mean, he just did. They wouldn't have, if Jimbo Fisher was coaching in 13 or 14, I think they win those two games in 2012. I think he was an immature coach. I think 2011, going and losing that game to Wake Forest with EJ standing on the sideline until you got down in a big hole, that was a mistake. Coaches make mistakes when they get to this level. I think you have to learn from them. I think he can learn from them.
That was a cataclysmic mistake, too, the EJ thing. And that was almost spiteful. Like, he wanted to prove that he wasn't lying during the week about EJ's availability. Seriously.
Yeah.
Because he told all the media that it couldn't happen, and we all knew otherwise. It wasn't the first time he lied, straight up lied, about whether or not a player had practiced or not, and that's what he got mad at me about one time, because I knew he lied. And listen, that's not gamesmanship. That was just him. And then at the end, he realized we're going to lose the game.
So now
I got to put him in. I look like an a-hole. And they still lose the game anyhow. Although that was a dart. That throw EJ made before the hat, that throw is fantastic.
I thought they were going to come back and beat those pesky Demon Deacons that day in 11. But it didn't quite happen.
From here on out, they will be referred to as those pesky Demon Deacons.
I just urge people to remember that Jimbo Fisher made a lot of mistakes.
And he also
plays every game close because of the amount of how few plays he runs.
It was weird that, like, I remember very early on in the Pitt game. It was right before half. Florida State was up 21-10. Pittsburgh had just run a ball. It's like a minute left. And Jimbo called a timeout to see if they could get the ball back. I'm like, man, that's not Jim. You just called a timeout. Now if they pick up this first down, they can go get points. That's me. That's me being scared, you know, coaching scared in my head. And I even tweeted about it. Like, it's not like Jimbo to call a timeout there. He'd like them to run out the clock normally. But he called a timeout. Terrence Brooks intercepts the next pass. It's 28-10 at half because they go down and score again. I think O'Leary or something.
It was the Jameis touchdown pass to O'Leary where he leans back and it's a flick, and it's unbelievable.
But, I mean, think about Jimbo's. And I know people are killing Norvell on the fourth downs, but Jimbo had some crazy ones. Remember the ones, the one where it was fourth and 1.5, or it was fourth and 3, but he swore it was fourth and a half, or whatever.
He argued with me in my interview on the air.
It was fourth and 1, and he said it was fourth and 3.
Yeah, right. Did you think about going for it on fourth and 1? He said, well, we didn't have a fourth and 1. And I'm on the air. It's live. It sucked. I'm like, well, yeah, you did. And I was there. I'm looking at it. And he goes, no, we didn't. It was fourth and 3. In no world was it fourth and 3. You could look at it from every angle.
But also, like, you've got – it's not Roberto Aguayo. Yeah. It's Ricky Aguayo kicking, who missed 3 field goals in that one quarter. It's like, man, how about sending a message? It's fourth – whatever it's – if it's 1.5 or 3, you're Florida State. Right. You're playing North Carolina, who has one of the worst defenses in the country. Just go get 3 yards and go score a touchdown.
Sean writes, anyway. Does Jeff ask the first posted questions first or last? Facebook and Twitter. Don't know, Sean. I skip all over the place. Walter writes, good afternoon, gents and Showtime. In 93, 2000, and 2013, FSU held 7 of their opponents to fewer than 10 points. Jeez, that's dominating. If Duquesne scores fewer than 10 points, are there any other games where that is likely? No.
No.
Could be.
No.
Syracuse could happen against Syracuse.
Man.
They shut down that running back.
No. Come on.
Nope.
No, I don't. It's just hard to do that.
The question was likely.
Likely, probably not.
It's not likely. Central Florida Noel writes, if we beat LSU in week 2, can someone convince Coach Norvell to do the post-game interview with a subtle but noticeable fake Southern draw?
I like it.
Maybe talk a little about his family. That is so good. Central Florida Noel, I hope that can happen.
If there's any ill will with him and Brian Kelly, I would definitely suggest it. I don't know if there is, though.
I'm going to ask Mike to do that.
All right. Hey, when we go to a break, can we have a little staff meeting, a little discussion about, like, the tempo of the questions?
Can we talk about it, yeah. Really quickly, though, we have
– I feel like we went from 33 to 78. or what?
There's a reference.
I like it. We skipped the 45. The 45.
You're like, we can get to the 45.
You want the 45?
You're listening to
trying to get through them all, Ira.
Two-speed
I don't want Ira
podcast.
One-upping me 2 minutes after the show ends and is in there typing away, answering every question under the sun. Vintage Noel writes, who's going to be more dangerous in the pass game out of the backfield? I'm assuming that's where Douglas will be at times. Jeff, sorry your Pirates can't beat Ira's and my Orioles. We did beat you 8-1, like a drum.
But the
had you not
two
won,
games in the series
had you not won
kickings.
A 1-0 game, you would have lost the series to the worst team in baseball.
2 out of 3, buddy.
No, he's rambling on at the end here. Anyhow, that first part is who's going to be more dangerous in the pass game out of the backfield? I'm assuming that's where Douglas will be at times.
They've got some weapons, man. I think Toffoli and Rodney Hill will be good weapons out of the
backfield. I like Rodney Hill a lot.
He makes some flashes every time you see him with the ball. That's a different kind of speed that kid has.
Another good evaluation for the staff. He's a nice player.
Well, we'll see, Ira. Let's see
him
in the
nice
game.
Player.
He does look like a nice player.
Tom writes, hypothetically speaking, if there was a wedding shower on October 1st for your son and his fiance, and the time was still tentative. What's your best guess on the kickoff time for the weight game?
It's fair. This is all hypothetical. Just thinking out loud.
3:30.
I would say 3:30.
Well, 3:30 action for that weight game, guys.
So have like a maybe a 10 a.m. wedding. Those are normal, right? Would you get it over with?
Or a 7 p.m. wedding where you're feeling good after a big win over Wake.
Here's the problem. 7 p.m., man. The game might be 31-30 with 3 minutes left, and it's 7:06.
The wedding starts a little late.
Exactly right.
A little late. A little late. Everybody, huddle around the TV out front here.
If he's your son, he's going to understand, I would think, and be like, okay, we just hold it back. Act like you got, you know, you got car trouble.
We're having
or
a problem with the chocolate fountain. But hang in there, everybody.
All the wives and girlfriends are going to be staring at their husbands who are, if the game doesn't go their way.
Miserable at
that wedding. Are you thinking about that game?
But imagine, like, walking down the aisle. And then, you know, our man Deuce Spann catches the game-winning touchdown with 2 seconds left.
That's a party that lasts all night.
But no, I'm saying, like, there's a huge roar as they're taking their vows. You don't want that either. So you'd rather start a little late than start on time and then have a reaction in the middle of the wedding.
What game do you think Brady Scott's having his wedding during?
I don't know. Probably Duquesne. I don't know. I'm going to try to think whatever the most painful loss
Clemson
of this next season is, Brady Scott's nuptials will be later
It'll
that
be
night.
Right there
in the middle of it.
All right. Some of the headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. It continues in a moment.
Ho, 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 Horizons. Bar and Grill.
It took all the strength I had not to interrupt you, turn off your mic, and go home.
Do you like how I closed my eyes when I sang, too?
Oh, believe me, that was the best part.
I didn't look at it, thankfully.
It was unbelievable. He looked like Al Jarreau or something. Luther Vandross.
Well, he was making sure it was there. I want to apologize to Horizon Sports Bar and Grill. Their delicious food should not be overlooked by Corey singing.
Man, that's a great jingle,
gang. Distracting you from the restaurant itself. But Horizons Bar and Grill is where, Ira?
Bannerman Crossing.
You're damn
right
it is.
Northeast Tallahassee, off Thomasville Road and Bannerman Road. It's, man, it's just, it's incredible food, incredible people, incredible beer.
It's where we are a lot.
Hey, before the end of the week, fellas, any week, like you could be listening to this 6 weeks from now, let's all get together at Horizons Bar and Grill.
We're there a lot. We really are. So if you want to see this in person, this trio in person.
Never mind the food. You get to see the three of us.
But yeah, the food and the drinks, the patio, it's all good, man. It's all working. It's all working at Horizons.
And if you sing the theme song, they'll give you some free food, I think.
I think you get, the bill is paid for if you sing the song. But you have to sing it like I do.
And tell them Corey's singing.
With a bar tab.
Yes,
it's amazing.
Correct.
It's
incredible.
It just keeps growing. They're so kind.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
No rest for the weary. Let's keep it going, Seth.
Are you doing Facebook now?
I'm saying on Twitter right here. I'm getting every one of them.
45. We're trying to get to the 45.
Have our kickers, punters really been as bad as everybody's been saying over the last few weeks? I can't stand having bad special teams units, and I'm worried it'll cost us games again this year just like last. That's from Seth.
No, punters have been – the punter, Mastromano, I think, has been pretty darn good except for one horrible day.
Yeah.
That day, I don't know if he was under the weather. He was awful that day.
Yeah, him and the other kids are
both good. I don't
know
if we're supposed to talk about that, but whatever. He had a bad day.
Well, Norvell talked about it.
Yeah, I think Papuchas even said.
Yeah.
But in the backup punter's a good punter, man, especially for a backup walk-on. But neither one of them could kick it. They just were struggling. But after that and before that, they've been really good. The kicking, we'll see, man. It's hit or miss right now.
I mean, you're talking about the field goals.
Field goal kicking, yes.
Yeah, field goal kicking's been up and down. I think they're going to be good in the return game. I just do. I think they rep it to death, first of all. Secondly, I like the guys that they have back there returning it. So I think they're going to be good back there.
Swiss Irish just asked in the chat, is that Mastermind only kicking with one leg now? I don't believe so. I think he's still kicking with two.
He's going with both.
And after the scrimmage the other night that John Papucha said, he's working on some other stuff that I can't discuss right now.
Headbutting. He's headbutting the ball.
What else is he doing?
I don't know. A cartwheel? I don't know.
Like a soccer throw-in?
But now I'm so excited to see
it. What could a punter be working on that you can't
talk
about?
We're going to see it against Duquesne.
How about he runs backward and bicycle kicks?
That'd be cool.
That'd be actually really neat.
It would be neat. It would be ineffective, but it would be neat.
And inefficient.
And by the way, I have to say this, too. I actually hate – not so subtly pisses me off that he kicks with both legs. Stop doing that. Get good with one of them. Just get really good with one of them and stick to it.
It's an irrational complaint.
Get good at kicking
Kyrie
with
Irving,
one leg.
Kyrie Irving's good at laying it both up with both hands.
And missing 45 games a year like an a-hole.
There is a practical use for it, though.
You roll out to each side. You can roll out to one side or the other. What if he's working on kicking it off a blocker downfield? like aiming at a guy that,
that
one
would
of
be
the,
cool.
One of the guys that's blocking the gunners, you kick it right at his ass, and it kicks off his leg 10 yards downfield.
Like
it's
a
your
sniper.
Ball, right?
Take him out.
Just kick a low line drive at his foot.
Yeah. Without talking specifics, writes Dustin, do you feel over the course of a few practices the offensive playbook is evolving in year three under Norvell? Well, this has an awful lot to do with whether or not they can block it up more consistently and if the receivers are better. As that evolves, I think the playbook evolves. Otherwise, you're just going to play to the very specific strengths that you have. So, you know, I mean, yes, I think it will evolve some this year because they're going to be better able to block it up than they were last year. I think that's a fair answer, right? Let's keep it moving. FSU alum 04 writes, I know this is Michael Langston's world, but are you guys aware of any silent commitments? Also,
if we were, we couldn't say, no, no. But I'd know.
Also, what's the reasoning or why do recruits silently commit? Well, they like to time those
they
things
time
for effectiveness
things
sometimes.
Yeah. I think they're...
That's not as big a thing, though, as it used to be, right? The silent commits?
No, because... Yeah, because it is just so orchestrated now. But, yeah, I think there's probably a couple guys at least that they feel maybe those guys have told them they're coming or they feel really good that they're coming. I think that there probably are some. But, yeah, they time them out. And they've been doing – all staffs do that. They kind of look for strategic times for guys to
announce.
When
Bryce commits –
Yeah.
Everybody, real quick, some guys are do their own thing. But some players, they do have more.
We won't be Mickey Mousing it over here, Corey. You won't have to worry about it. It'll
You're not going
to
do a video?
We're not going to do a stupid video. We're not playing three-card Monty. We're not going to dance around like a-holes. It'll just be like, here we go, Bryce.
Well, the Clark household, that's all we're doing. Okay, it's going to be a week-long celebration.
Yeah. And then we'll all hate you.
Yeah. It's going to be like it's going to be clues. He's going to give clues.
He's going to have a signing ceremony and then like walk out in the middle of it and then reschedule it.
Yeah. Well,
and
we'll
then
have
walk
to come
out
back
again in the middle of it.
Yeah. Noel Tickety writes, good day, fellas. I've heard you comment on linebacker play improving. Which, if any of these guys, will be a plus player in coverage? Yeah, that's a good question. By the way, at the end of this, he says on a side note, great to see Trent Forrest signing with the Hawks.
Yeah,
I was
excited
great.
About
yeah,
that.
I might become a Hawks fan.
Yeah, man.
There you go. Hey, you know, I took my kids to their first ever NBA game.
Right.
It was the Hawks. We got
the Hawks
jersey.
Can certainly use a point guard that can guard.
Yeah, oh, that is for sure.
Yeah.
I'm only comfortable with maybe one of those guys in coverage, and it's Tatum Bethune, and that's he's probably the most he's the most complete linebacker they have. Deloach is okay. I still don't want Lundy covering anybody. I know what kind of shape he's in. That is not an area of strength. Coverage from the linebackers, they're better.
Yeah, they are better, and it's tough, man. That's what college football is. People get good athletes matched up against your linebackers. That's why teams only have two linebackers now.
But it's also why you got to recruit those guys who are, and they got to get there. Yeah, they don't really have that on the roster just yet. I do think Tatum Bethune is an upgrade in that department.
They need to go get like a N'Kobe Dean.
That's a good idea. Maybe mention that to Norvell too.
The next time we're talking off the record, I'm like, have you ever thought about like maybe recruiting guys like N'Kobe Dean?
That would. It seems like it would make your job a little easier.
Just saying.
I bet Mike would appreciate a little nugget like that, right?
Advice.
Chris writes, you guys are at practice every day. Do you feel good about our staff outside of Norvell in terms of how well they are connecting with the guys? Well, we talked about this earlier, Chris. Adam Fuller's doing a much better job with it. I think so. Energy level's great, first of all. He asked about energy levels. No, that's great.
I'll just go through a few guys that stand out in that area. David Johnson, the running backs coach, fantastic, I think. Offensive line, Alex Atkins, fantastic in that area. And I think Randy Shannon is a different kind of guy. He's not a player's coach necessarily. He's a little bit older. He's been a head coach. But I think the respect there between those linebackers and him is at a real high level. And then obviously Odell, what he's done through the years.
Odell got excited about what's our guy's name, the freshman? You said
Which
he was
Lions?
Killing the guy.
Lions,
the freshman defensive tackle with the
Jared Jackson. He was going after today.
No, he was excited about
excited
he made a great
how well
play.
He was playing. Yeah,
he okay. 55. I can't remember his name. 55
oh, Tifosi.
Yeah, Tifosi. He got really fired up in a good way at him earlier today when he beat a 1-on-1.
By the way, he's
excited.
Played well this game.
Yeah, and he's not eligible this year. He's going to take an academic red shirt, so you're not going to see. I think it's A.O. Tifosi, but you will see him next year.
Cool-ass name for a defensive tackle.
Like he's big time, man. He's going to be a really nice player.
Do you guys think with how much the strength and conditioning is working, guys getting bigger, that maybe in a couple of years we're going to have a Bama table? Thanks. That's from J-Rod. J-Rod, I've been begging for a Bama table around these parts for, I don't know, going on 15 years.
Call it the Birch table.
The first time that I saw Alabama in their transformation, basically post-05, so after that first bad year for Nick Saban – and then the subsequent really good years that followed, I remember thinking Alabama rolls out of the tunnel looking different than everybody else. What are they doing there at Alabama for a nutritional standpoint?
Do you think we could get him to slow down the tempo just a little
bit? No.
What's weird is that it's not just the question. I thought he'd just get to the question.
No, the answers
quicker.
Have to be snappy, baby. I mean, we're trying to get to all the questions.
It is
key.
Hard to listen
apparently
to.
It's paramount.
Because I don't know that anybody ever listened to Seminole Headlines and thought, man, there's too much silence in Seminole Headlines. So now we have just...
I mean, there's a fine...
I won't respond to the Twitter anymore, man. I'm sorry. That wasn't a shot at you. I didn't even know you were going to see it.
I didn't take it as a shot. I'm just letting you know that I will not be the reason that these people who you care very deeply for get their questions answered. I'm going to make sure it happens.
Well, I care about the Facebookers, and apparently they just...
Oh, no, we're getting to them. If you guys would shut up for a second and I can keep it moving, we'll get to them. Josh writes, don't want to drink the Kool-Aid. However, over under at five
Flavor
touchdowns...
Flavor Aid, technically, Josh. Flavor Aid. It was Flavor Aid in Jonestown.
At five touchdowns for Deuce Span this season, over under.
Ooh, that's a good number. And that's
under.
A good number.
Under, just because I'm
because you're a hater.
Yeah, I'm half glass empty, glass half empty all the time.
I'll say under, but man, I think that's a good number.
He had two last year in Illinois on five catches. Yeah. You feel like he's going to get a few more targets this year, but still.
You sold me. I'm over.
All right.
I'm going under, but I like the number.
It's a good number.
It's a great number.
What about number of catches? If I put it at 18.
I might say under 18.
Under 18 catches?
I like 15 catches. He's going to have some games where he doesn't catch a pass.
Okay. All right. I think 18 is a good number.
Not a terrible number.
Not as good as five.
You're right.
Touchdowns.
Josh won that one.
Sam writes, over under top 30 defense and top 50 offense.
No and yes.
Top 30 defense,
I think they played too many good quarterbacks.
They can play great quarterbacks in this league. Yeah, and this is a league of quarterbacks. No, they won't be a top 30. Well,
so they get knocked out by that pass rush.
What metric? I mean, we got to look at all the numbers, man. So top 30, no.
Yards or scoring? If you did scoring, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe top 30.
Top 50 offense?
Yeah, man, yes. I mean, good grief. We're in year three. You've got a guy that's been starting quarterback for three years.
They were terrible on offense last year, in truth.
Just be, if you're average, that's right around 53 to 48, like right there. You got to be top 50 offense. Come on, Mike. You're a Memphis beating team 65 to 50.
Brian's question, this next one is specific to me, but I want us to answer it, so I'm just going to treat it as if he asked all of us. If you're the head coach of the Noles for the Duquesne game, how do you coach the game? And I was saying this today to you, Corey. We were talking about it while we were watching practice. I mean, I'm as vanilla and bland as I could possibly be. Yes, I want to get certain guys certain reps, and yes, I would like to develop some sort of rhythm. But the truth is, this is a scrimmage game, man, and you can't treat it like that. You got to treat it like a real game. We know that.
Well, so then if you're really vanilla, isn't that treating it like a different kind of game?
I think you don't want to show LSU a whole lot.
They can't stop it. You can tell them what's coming. They ain't stopping it.
I think it's important to establish things.
I would establish certain looks to play off of. Right. I agree with you there. And I think they will do that. So that's kind of a vanilla approach still, though. It's that I'm going to show you some things that I'm going to play off of. I have two or three varieties off of this or plays off of this that I won't reveal. But, yeah, it is still a very vanilla game plan here. You don't want to do much. And I want to get a lot of people a lot of playing time. I mean, getting a bunch of people reps in this game. So that's how I'm approaching it. I really believe if you wanted, you could line up in an I formation, double tights, and run a 32 veer over and over again.
But I also think it's important for these guys who have not beaten anybody convincingly in their lives
to do so.
To do that.
I agree, and I think you could.
Yeah, you don't want to be 14-6 at the half.
Oh,
man.
Buddy, don't even talk like that.
Be vanilla in the second half.
Well, you can be vanilla in the first half, too, and still score more than 14 points. This is a physical mismatch that is really criminal they're even playing the game. Go look at that Duquesne roster. I'm sorry. I know everybody's going to say, but Jacksonville State. No. Jacksonville State would beat Duquesne's ass. This is not a good game.
I was thinking about Jacksonville State because you mentioned Brady Scott earlier. Who's the transfer, the DB that transferred?
Malik Feaster.
Mm-hmm. Malik Feaster. Do you think maybe he goes to Brady Scott's wedding? Because he was there in the end zone with Brady Scott.
Guys.
While he...
Oh,
just saying. They celebrated a special moment.
He was there
together.
For the moment.
Yeah, he was there for the moment. He's in the background.
Jay Daddy writes, hello, gents. Assuming we're all optimists and FSU finishes 8-4, do you think it's more likely FSU enters the top 25 but falls out by season's end, never gets in the top 25 as revenge for the more fraudulent teams of the past, or that they finish the season in the top 25? 8-4, I think they're in the top 25 with this schedule.
I think if they beat Florida to go to 8-4, they probably finish like 25th or 24th, I think. I don't think they're going to get in and get out.
And then that bowl game puts them to 9-4.
Yeah.
Top 20.
You're beating West Virginia in the Car Care Bowl or something, and you're down 9-4.
Two questions, and Twitter is done.
Thank heavens.
Jason writes,
this has been relentless.
Are all the practices early in the morning? Yes.
It's the shock and awe.
I know the scrimmage was at night, but I would think you'd want their bodies to get used to physical exertion in the middle of the afternoon or evening. Is there anything to this, or am I overthinking it? You're overthinking it.
They practice in the heat every day.
They do, but it is, I mean, yes, it's very hot.
It is ragingly hot.
The morning is when they always practice.
And the DC Floridian writes, what would have happened to FSU football in the last 30 years if we had joined the SEC in the early 90s? We'd have more money, sure, but would we still have those three national titles and the cachet that comes with those? Well, let me say this real quickly.
Yep, you'd at least have the two.
You'd at least have two, because lest we forget, the early 90s was not a banner time for the SEC.
SEC stunk.
And I'll give you an example off the top of my head. Correct me if I'm wrong. You'll probably remember this. You will, too, because you were covering. So in 93, Florida was awesome. Yep. Top 10 team, top 5 team. Auburn was awesome that year. Bama was average.
But Auburn wasn't eligible.
Right. Yeah. Auburn wasn't eligible. Bama was average.
I got the stat for
hold
you.
Hold on a second. I'm finishing this up. The rest of the SEC, including LSU, they all sucked to high heaven. And as I remember, Florida State already played Florida. Florida State played Miami, and none of those SEC schools did. And they played Notre Dame that year. So, sorry, man. Florida State's schedule back then was even better than anybody in the SEC.
Here's
that
the stat
year.
For you. Florida State finished in the top five in the 90s more times than the entire SEC combined. It was 10-9.
Well,
the SEC did not have
– Florida was not a dominant
Florida
league.
Steve Spurrier ran roughshod through that conference.
They
for a
modernized
decade.
Florida, modernized the SEC.
But
other than
Tennessee in '98,
yeah,
Florida. It was Florida and nobody else.
Yeah,
it was much like
90s,
Florida
Auburn
State
was
in the
good.
ACC.
But yeah, and I bring this up all the time because we know that Jerry DiNardo and all those other bums at LSU, they were never any good. And Georgia sucked.
Curly Holman years.
Georgia was.
Well, Ray Goff got the short end of the stick. They should have given him a few more years, see if he could turn it around. Jim Donnan did some great things, obviously.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hey, Headliners, Ira here, and it's time to talk Shopify. As you remember, a couple years ago, we wanted to create and sell Headlines merch for the best podcast listeners in the world. That's you. But I had no idea where to get started. Now I'm selling Yay Sausage shirts, and it's so easy, all because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're a startup working out of your man cave or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to grow your business without the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. You could be selling Don Julio socks from Shopify's in-person point-of-sale system or offering Headliner shirts from Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform. Whatever you need, you're covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up now for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/warchant now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/warchant.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Rapid fire, bitches. Here we go. Facebook, we got 11 minutes.
Crank it up.
Tony writes, hey there, sausage lover. Has Coach Storms always had that rug on the top of his head, or am I mistaken? I don't think it's a rug.
I'm not asking him.
Oh, I'm certainly not going to bring it up.
no,
Tony,
chance.
You venture into those waters if you want.
Good luck.
Austin. By the way, I am a sleuth for this sort of thing. Tony, I will look closer again tomorrow. I don't think it's a rug. Austin writes, Shuttleman sounds like the linebacker. Oh, no, already asked that question. Steve writes, greetings, Shuttleman. I'm a loyal War Chant subscriber, but lots of changes are happening. Usually I renew very, very soon, but unsure if my subscription will automatically renew to the new site or the old. Please advise on the best way to stay a War Chant member.
Well, that's a good question.
Really good
Corey.
Great job,
Corey,
Steve.
Corey knows exactly.
I got it. You type in warchant.com. Yeah. Don't go to your bookmarks. Just go into your web browser.
Type in.
Delete it. Delete what's on there. Type in warchant.com. It'll take you to our new site, and you will register for $1 for the entire year.
It's
so basically, you're not keeping your old subscription. It's a new subscription, but it's for $1. So basically, you're getting it for free for a year.
And here's the trick, Steve. They'll also give you an option to get 4 months for a dollar.
Don't do that.
We are advising you.
Get that year.
You could re-up that $1 for 4 months for three times if you want, but that's $3, gang. That's $3. Or you could do $1 for 12 months. Yes. Just throwing that out there.
Gator Kirk, good day. Will the improvement since last year be greater than the improvement of the competition to get to 7-plus wins for FSU?
To me, that's the crux of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think they're markedly better, and Tom and I had this discussion on the Sunday Smash. I think they're going to be markedly better because I think they're better in some positions, much better across the board than they were a year ago.
But
the schedule is tougher. And that's the part it's hard to evaluate because, again, I think they're so much better that I think that they should beat Louisville. But maybe Louisville's gotten better. I mean, you know, just you don't know. And they have a really good quarterback and they'll be at home. So that's.
Well, Florida State's going to be the underdog in the game.
Probably so. Unless they beat LSU.
Unless they're beating LSU coming off a 38-6 win over LSU in the dome.
But I'm telling you, I think that LSU.
And we don't know how quickly LSU gets their act together. I mean, they're in a tough situation. Their ass is in the jackpot, Jeff.
Buddy, yeah. I hope they're in shambles when we go up to New Orleans and we're like, call off the dogs.
Yeah, Mike, this is getting embarrassing.
I mean, come on. This man has a family. Yeah.
A family.
Ryan writes, fellas, on that glorious October 9 in 2013, if FSU had rolled into Tuscaloosa rather than Death Valley, do you believe the result would have been the same?
I don't think – Nick Saban's not losing by 37
like
points anyway,
like
but
that.
I think the win would have been the same.
Tom writes, since we all know that the ACC network
as
money –
as in they would have won the game is what I meant.
Yeah,
Florida State. Well, and Dabo would have won 5 out of 10.
Well, right. You match those two teams against 50-50 each other.
50-50, really, proposition.
Much like I thought the 2018 game here. If you get Asante Samuel doesn't run into the kicker in that first quarter, that game goes either way.
Probably a field goal at any moment. Yep. It's a game changer right there. Yeah, Tom Wright, since we all know the ACC money is about to roll in, are all you guys hearing those rumors about Bama or Georgia wanting to defect to our conference?
Yeah.
I personally say we shouldn't let those bastards in unless they improve their lacrosse facilities.
Agreed. And if they're an AAU school.
That's what you need to see more of. Like, why isn't Mississippi State saying, hey, we want to be in the ACC?
Well, Mississippi State, it's a tough proposition trying to join the ACC.
Well, there's some academic issues. But why isn't
we
some
want
other,
to?
Why isn't Missouri?
We desperately want
Missouri
to.
Saying, you know what, this SEC thing was cool. We put away some money in the bank.
Yeah,
we want to come to the ACC.
Yeah, they fit more with the ACC, I would think.
Matt writes, everything aside, your gut instincts on how this season will turn out. Mine says we beat Clemson and win the bowl game for 9 total wins, 8 regular season. Travis is a way better runner than fully acknowledged. No, we all acknowledge that he's an incredible runner. I need him to just be a better passer. As far as Florida State goes, our guts have been saying all summer long 8-4 is what we're hoping, is what we're thinking.
Things go poorly, 7-5. And if
I think good luck, you're 8-4. Bad luck, 6
I'm
wins.
I'm starting
seven
to
wins.
Think good luck, they can get to 9-3.
I heard the wildly popular Jeff Cameron show and said that he thought they were a 9-win team or bust.
That's what I heard.
Not at all what I heard.
Yeah, he was
it's awesome, man,
bullish.
To have that kind of belief.
Bullish.
Yeah, it's cool, man. I hope it happens. I do.
Michael writes, gents, football is on the horizons. Oh, see what he did there?
Yeah.
See what he did there? Yeah, nicely done.
Ho, ho, ho.
With that thought registers, I try to set real.
Close your eyes, though.
When that thought registers.
Oh, here we go. This guy's got. Okay, let's figure out the next one.
Let's read that whole question again.
Okay, gents, football is on the horizons. When that thought registers, I try to set realistic expectations for the season. Which is more likely, 8-4, 5-7, or hardcore getting braces from Heather K. Birch?
I was wondering when he would do the Birch. How he'd fit Birch in. I'm not getting braces.
More likely than 5-7.
I'm not doing braces again. I live that life. That's why I tell Brady when he has to get up at 5:10 for high school. And I'm like, I'm not waking up with you, man. I did this already. I went through this drill. You get your butt out the door and get on the bus.
First of all, why in the hell does he have to get up at 5:10? Are you taking him to school in North Dakota?
No, it's 6:07 is when the bus comes. 6:07. So he likes to get up in primp, I guess. I don't know. I mean, you've seen him. He's a great-looking kid. He doesn't need any of that.
Imagine arranging the bus system for bougie North Atlanta where Corey lives.
Yeah, that's right. 6:07. Hey, by the way, you should throw the Khalil question up there because he gave us money. I mean, Khalil's a good guy. He's a long-time
That's not the only reason.
Well, yeah.
Which backfield would you rather have? That's a question from Khalil. Minor, Lee, or Freeman Akers? Assuming you have a good offensive line by FSU standards, the answer is going to be Freeman Akers.
I think so, too. I love Amp Lee.
I'd have a hard time going against Minor and Lee.
I love both those guys, but it is the answer, Ira, you're wrong, is Freeman Akers.
I'm just saying, and maybe it's because of the
Isn't Akers the best of those four?
I don't know, man. I just remember Lee. I remember being more impressed by the stuff Amp Lee was doing on the field than the stuff I saw from Cam Akers.
Yeah, but that was 91.
I was young.
You were young. Yeah,
you were very impressionable.
You didn't. Thank you, Khalil. You're the man, buddy. Yeah.
Thanks, Khalil.
Appreciate that,
buddy. Good question.
Okay. Hello, gentlemen. Love the show. This is from Jonathan. You three are honestly amongst the best in your profession. True story. I was thinking about realignment, and the best play for the Big Ten would be to take 8 out of the ACC. By taking 8, you can effectively dissolve the ACC with no GOR concerns. You have a huge footprint in the South and East Coast. Your basketball league would be insane. Plus, your biggest value would be that with all the new live sports content, you could help facilitate or new or expand 24/7 sports network that could challenge ESPN. It would be less money per team in the short term, but potentially dominating college sports, all of college sports, in the long term.
Sure, man. I'm all for it.
Let's go.
Think about that conference tournament, basketball. It's going to be like a mini NCAA. It's going to be 25 teams.
We don't even need to be part of the NCAA tournament anymore.
No, you've got your own.
Greg Sankey, we'll do our own thing over here, man. We don't need it.
They would be smart to get Florida State and Clemson, and you really do challenge the SEC for supremacy if you get the right schools in there. You really do.
So you could grab Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, Miami.
And people might look at that, man, what's Carolina done or what's Miami done lately? What's Florida State done lately? But imagine Florida State with Big Ten money and Big Ten resources. All of a sudden, Florida State's going to be a behemoth again.
Kristen writes, which one FBS game in the first half of the season, if FSU loses, will make you concede 7 wins is not happening?
Boston College.
Also, which game, if FSU wins, would make 9-plus wins possible?
I think Boston, there's several games in the first half of the season. If they lose to BC, if they lose to Syracuse.
Oh, buddy.
I'm saying it, man. I think they're going to beat Wake. And if they don't beat Wake, that's going to be another sign to me that things are not going to be.
But the one, you'd say BC would be the one.
You can't lose BC at home. That's one you need to win.
Wake, you could sort of survive.
Got to win BC here. You lose that game. That hurts.
One game you win. I think if they go on the road to beat Louisville, to me, that's a big sign. Because you went on the road, they haven't played well on the road.
Yeah,
and that's got a good quarterback. You'd have to score some points on the road. That would be a really.
And you're
good
at least 2-1 at that point. You think you're 2-1. You're going to have a winning record at 3 weeks into a season for the first time, I think, since Bowden was the coach.
Sean writes, direct, difficult question here, gents. Have any of you felt yourself gravitating more towards the NFL game with the commencement of the transfer portal and the onset of the NIL?
If I had an NFL team, maybe, but I don't have an NFL team. So I'll let you guys answer.
What if you had an NFL team whose coach was the son of a billionaire founder of FedEx?
Well, we have
You have a good one. We have a quarterback.
We have a quarterback that is the greatest to ever play.
We have some unique circumstances in this room.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I will say that's a fair question that a lot of people are wrestling with at this time. The college game is in flux, and we're certainly thinking these days that it's not nearly the sport it once was in our eyes. I still love it, but I also love the NFL, and I kind of look at them very much distinctly different. I don't even
it really doesn't you think it helps though, just for Florida State fans specifically, that practices are all open. There is so much access.
Yeah,
you do
helps,
feel like
yeah.
you know this team because all
yeah,
these
you have
other
an,
schools
you have an
they feel like a pro team
way,
anyway.
Yeah.
Where you don't get to talk to the coaches. You don't get to. I mean. Pro has more access than most college teams, but I just feel like Florida State fans should at least feel closer to this team because they get to hear from all the players.
They get to hear
from the coach all the time, and they get to hear how it's going in practice.
I think these emotions that Sean feels, I think they're magnified for Florida State fans because of what happened with Travis Hunter.
Yes, certainly. Last question, and we will have gotten to everybody on both sides of the aisle here. Gentlemen, while I love the talk of depth on the offensive line, do you think we are close to solidifying a starting five?
Not really.
I mean, I think they know who their starting five is if they're all healthy.
Could be 6 or 7, though, because, you know, Darius was limited for early part
of
camp.
Yeah, that's the only question
back,
I have.
So where does he fit in? So, yeah, I think there's a 6 to 7-ish guys that will be the five will be from there.
For Corey, for Ira,
we did
I'm
it.
Jeff. Good
Jeff,
job,
that was
Director
incredible.
Matthew.
What an
Ooh.
Hour.
Woo!
What an hour. I need
Strong
to go decompress.
Strong like bull, boys.
Decompress after
That's
that.
That's what I do
you
right
said it
there.
Couldn't be done.
Thanks for listening and writing in the questions and being part of Seminole Headlines, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.